Hello, friends. It's time for the News Talk 94.9 WSJM Morning Announcements with yours truly, Jim Gifford, and my partner in crime, Spencer Rivers. Brought to you by the good people at Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor. And there is a good chance that you have walked through a special light door when you go into a local restaurant or visit a school or a store or walk into a manufacturing plant. So thank you to Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor and enjoy your morning announcements.
10 after 6 on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Studio audience is up early today, Spence.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
They're not normally out of bed this time.
Oh, no. So. Nurses must have got them up.
The meds kicked in early today. It's a brand spanking new day here. We're at the middle of the final of a full week of August already. And coming off of a interesting day yesterday in that we got some rain. In fact, the rain and clouds hung around to keep the heat down for most of the day yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know about where you were at, but we had a thunderstorm at
Well, I was in my backyard about mid-afternoon, and I saw and heard the thunder north of me, and I thought, well, yeah, maybe you guys are getting something.
But, we did.
We got nothing of that, but the fact that the light rain and the clouds hung around at least until early afternoon was...
You had light rain? We had quite a bit of heavy rain in Riverside.
Morning or afternoon?
Afternoon.
Yeah. We didn't have anything in the afternoon. We had light rain all morning. So. And that's okay. That worked out pretty good because it kind of kept the temps down. And
lawn is watered and our garden is watered and...
I may need more of that. I don't know if we got enough rain to really substantially water anything, but...
Oh, really? Huh. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Now, we saw that even on the radar yesterday morning. I saw that most of the heavy stuff was going to be north of St. Joe Benton Harbor. Mm. And that's kind of the way it turned out yesterday. For today, it's just going to be kind of steamy. Although, coming out of the house this morning, noticeably nicer.
Oh, yes, indeed.
It's like full 10 degrees cooler this morning than yesterday. Okay with that. On the way in today, I almost hit a deer on Washington Avenue and almost squashed a possum out here on Napier.
Oh, dear.
And yesterday, have you ever had this happen where you were pretty sure that you've hit the cloaking device on your car to make it invisible? I swear, everybody was pulling out in front of me yesterday, and I felt like I was invisible.
for Pete's sake.
Nobody saw me. It's just time and time again. Hello, I'm here.
Wow.
So. And it's just every once in a while, it just seems like that happens, like on a given day. It's like nobody knows you're there.
I'm always surprised by the amount of automobiles that don't have turn signals.
There are bunches of them. Yeah. Maybe they forgot that in the newer designs. They put all their emphasis into electronics on the dash and forgot the turn signals. So, anyway, we are off to the races here. And page one of your morning announcements, we'll take a look at day two of the Republican National Convention here this morning. But first, look back at day one, where it seems like up is down and down is up, and the president was thanking CNN yesterday.
Highly unusual.
Yesterday for its Republican convention coverage. Fox News got plenty of complaints from viewers about what I was talking about yesterday.
Yep.
That they just felt it was more important that you hear what they had to say than what the speakers had to had to say. And I don't know if it's ego or if it's more important they shape your thoughts or what the mindset is in the cable news networks, but let us think for ourselves, you know?
There you go.
That would be, I think, a good idea, which is why I try not to watch them any more than I have to. So Trump's tweet that he was very appreciative to CNN for showing the vast majority of the Republicans opening night program could very well have been a coded message to Fox, which has been his network of choice and is still for many of his fans. As the numbers illustrated why he cared, 45% of people following coverage of the convention, in the last hour of it anyway, on the top six networks were watching Fox News Channel. 45% of them. That's from Nielsen. Almost 16 million watched the final hour. Down 16% from Joe Biden's first night last week, which is weird because I had heard, of course, it was probably from Trump himself, that that the Republican ratings were way higher than Democratic ratings. So, like I said, up is down, down is up. Who knows what the hell is going on anymore? Fox's audience up 238%. But the Democratic convention viewership beat Republicans on all the other networks. So, anyway, that was from night one. And I had missed this because I had gone to bed. But holy moly, Kimberly Guilfoyle, did you see any of her address to the convention?
What time was that on?
It wasn't last night. It was the night before. It must have been late.
I didn't see it.
But I saw the eclipse yesterday, and apparently they forgot to tell her that the room she was in that she was speaking to was empty. She was yelling.
Oh, boy.
And now there's this screaming Guilfoyle meme thing going on, so which is actually pretty funny. So I don't know. So last night toned down a little bit from that. So in recapping night two of the Republican National Convention, it made some history that many of the opposition are complaining about. But using the White House as a backdrop for some of the speakers and then having Secretary of State Mike Pompeo do his part of it from Israel. Melania Trump spoke from the recently renovated White House Rose Garden, wearing what some fashion people are saying looked like a military-inspired dress. Again, that was too late for me last night. So she apparently had a seated crowd in front of her that she addressed there. The chosen location, blurring the lines between government and political campaigning. I don't think it's a law, but it's kind of a written rule of protocol or unwritten rule of protocol that you don't use governmental buildings and units like that for political campaigning. But in this day and age, all the rules are being thrown out the window anyway. First Lady was one of the few speakers to address the coronavirus pandemic last night, sending out prayers for those suffering from the virus. Trump's son, Eric, a featured speaker last night as well. And perhaps even more unusual than Melania's Rose Garden speech was Pompeo's from Israel. In that speech, critics again saying that may have broken even his own department's rules, as well as longstanding diplomatic protocol about where he was doing that from. So regardless, he praised Mr. Trump's America First foreign policy, telling Americans to stay the course. Pompeo, the first Secretary of State to appear at a convention in 75 years.
Wow.
That seems unusual to me that it's been that long. To help dispel the notion that President Trump is anti-immigrant, the show last night featured several immigrants taking the oath to become U.S. citizens. One of the speakers was yanked. I don't know who she is, Marianne Mendoza. She was supposed to speak, but apparently they yanked her from the program after she sent out an anti-Jewish tweet.
Oh, so, dear.
To this day, I don't know what. I don't know. What the problem? Why do people have problem with the Jewish folks? I've never understood.
No, I don't either.
I don't know. Anyway, President Trump. Well, let's see. We got a little bit from Eric Trump here last night talking about what his dad did in his first term.
Expanded our military defense budget to $721 billion per year. America was no longer weak in the eye of the enemy. The moment President Trump ordered special forces to kill some of the deadliest terrorists on the planet, the day the mighty Moab was dropped on insurgent camps, is the day America took a stance to never be defeated by the enemy.
And then he took some time to speak directly to his dad as dad instead of as president.
In closing, I'd like to speak directly to my father. I miss working alongside you every single day, but I'm damn proud to be on the front lines of this fight. I'm proud of what you are doing for this country. I'm proud to show my children what their grandfather is fighting for.
Mike Pompeo, as mentioned, spoke from Israel and spoke about the president being tough on China.
This president has led bold initiatives in nearly every corner of the world. In China, he's pulled back the curtain on the predatory aggression of the Chinese Communist Party.
Melania took center stage last night and got quite a bit of attention there, thanking the supporters that got him, her husband, elected in the first place.
It seems like just yesterday that we were at our first convention, where my husband accepted the Republican nomination and then became our 45th president of the United States.
She also thanked her parents for actually getting her here to this country.
Growing up as a young child in Slovenia, which was under communist rule at the time, I always heard about an amazing place called America, a land that stood for freedom and opportunity. As I grew older, it became my goal to move to the United States.
And so it happened. And then she also said, talked about how her husband never keeps his thoughts to himself, which should surprise no one.
I'm here because we need my husband to be our president and commander-in-chief for 4 more years. He's what is best for our country. We all know Donald Trump makes no secrets about how he feels about things. Total honesty is what we as citizens deserve from our president.
Now, we also heard from Tiffany, whom we very seldom hear from in any regard. She seems to be just staying out of this whole thing. But
why?
There's
so many.
Whoops, excuse me. She addressed the convention last night as well.
Why are so many in media and technology, and even in our own government, so invested in promoting a biased and fabricated view? Ask yourselves, why are we prevented from seeing certain information? Why is one viewpoint promoted while others are hidden? The answer is control.
Very measured address there, in sharp contrast.
America!
In sharp contrast to the screaming guilfoyle from the
1940s. America! It's all on the line. President Trump believes in you. He emancipates and lifts you up to live your American dream. You are capable. You are qualified. You are powerful, and you have the ability to choose your life and determine your destiny. Don't let the Democrats take you for granted. Don't let them step on you. Don't let them destroy your families, your lives, and your future.
No, plenty of Democrats. None of them have destroyed any of my things. I don't know. This us versus them stuff, and it's not just the Republicans that do it, but they seem to be better at it, is just disheartening. This whole, we're supposed to be unifying the nation, that ain't happening. Just keep driving that wedge deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So anyway, page 2 is in the books, or day 2 is in the books, and, you know, we'll see what happens on day 3. I thought the president was supposed to make some sort of an appearance. Maybe it was just in recorded stuff last night. Again, too late for the likes of me, but he's supposed to be on every night this week, and then, you know, the official deal on, Thursday night? Is that the final
night? I think so.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, there you go. There's day 2. Day 3 will be, obviously, tonight, and we'll talk about that in the morning. Here's today's Both Sides of Your Mouth headline. I found this interesting yesterday. The headline, Trump's convention sells optimism based on grievance and fear. What?
What?
Huh? But, but that does kind of sum it up. There's been a lot of fear-mongering going on both sides. If the other side, depending on which side of the political spectrum you're on, they're trying to make you believe that if the other guys win, this country is done. So I think we'll survive. We'll see. But there's a lot of fear-mongering going on out there, if it's for sure. Page one of your morning announcements on WSJM.
Show.
Thanks, Carrie. It's 71 at the studios on Napier Avenue. The wind's southwest at 3, humidity at 73%. It's time for page two of your morning announcements.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred. War and poverty.
Well, considering the fact that that was from the 60s, maybe the world hasn't changed all that much. It's 6:42, 18 away from 7 o'clock. News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. Spencer, the great tree removal project at the Gifford household has begun.
That's sad, though.
Or will begin today. Yeah, in many respects it is, but... The guys that do the tree removal stuff for the power company were out yesterday looking at the one that's right up against the pole and the transformer on the pole, and they're coming out today to take it down because it's dead halfway up. And then I got to get some people out to look at the other ones that the power company won't deal with, so we'll see.
You can't deal with those tree removal people directly?
Well, this is, these guys are working specifically for the power company, so...
They're not for hire.
Not that company.
Okay, I
think
you.
I think some of the guys may do it elsewhere and or on the side.
I got you.
Okay. But they can't mix the two, so...
Right.
So, I'll get some people out to look at that. So
that's a shame.
That is a shame. I'll get some firewood out of it, though.
Hmm.
And that's good news. You know why?
Why?
Because the fire pit's done, and so's the patio, and you don't have to hear me talk about it anymore.
Wow. You've been pining to use it. No.
I have. I'm all fired up over the whole thing.
We don't have to needle you about it anymore, do we?
Do not. My goodness. So, yeah, thankful. That's what I was doing yesterday as those thunderstorms were rolling past north of us. I'm out in the backyard spray painting the fire pit ring. Thinking, boy, I hope that stays north of us because this ain't going to go well if it dumps on me here all of a sudden.
What color do you paint that? Something like that?
Just flat black.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
And it was just around the top there. You're actually not supposed to paint the surfaces that are subject to flames.
I was going to say.
So anyway, that's all over and done with. Hey, we got news the other day, and I forgot to mention this when I first saw it, but I'll remind you, bring it up now. Had you heard that Kentucky Fried Chicken is temporarily suspending their finger-licking good tagline?
I read that the other day, yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah, it's in deference to the new hygiene procedures that have come along with the pandemic. Apparently, the marketing department at KFC didn't think that now was a good time to encourage people to cram their chicken grease-soaked germ digits into their unmasked gaping maws, and that just was not hygienically appropriate. So for now, the tagline will be, "Use a fork, you troglodyte." Actually, they're not really coming out with any kind of a new... a tagline, to the best of my knowledge. In their TV commercials, they're blurring the slogan on the TV ads. Like if they have a shot of the bucket, then they'll just blur out the finger licking good part of it. For now, okay. they're not dumping it. They'll bring it back when we're allowed to lick our fingers. By the way, that only applies to your fingers. The whole thing about licking other people's fingers, that's up to you.
Oh, dear.
So, by the way, isn't it disappointing when you go to get a bucket of chicken and they put it in a square box instead?
Yeah, I guess I never thought about that, but that is...
I mean, that's iconic, the circular bucket.
Uh-huh.
And you go get a bunch of chicken and they give it to you in a square box, and you just, well, that's disappointing.
Well, I mean, next time I go, I'll just take the mop bucket or something and they can put it in.
There you go. That'd be like getting a Henry's brown bag special in a white bag. That would make no sense.
Right.
All right, what else have we got here this morning? Just in case the COVID pandemic isn't enough for you to worry about, now it's get a flu shot.
Oh, yeah.
The bottom line from the State of Michigan press conference yesterday regarding COVID-19 and the facing the flu together fight, which I guess is now what we're engaged in. Governor got her shot right there on stage. Of course, she looked like I saw a picture of that. She looked like she was being held hostage. She's in a straight back chair, and there's some guy with something wrapped around her, and she's got her face mask on. Is she being held hostage? What's going on here? Anyway, in her words, when we all get our flu vaccine, we can help keep thousands of flu patients out of the hospitals and prevent overcrowding. Saying hospitals in many places are still reeling from the spring COVID hospitalizations and are working to prepare for a potential second wave of that. So if you pile the flu thing on top of it, then it becomes unmanageable and could just get weird.
I'll probably get that next month, I think.
Have you ever gotten one before?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never done that.
Wife works at Lakeland, so we get them. So,
yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I get that along with a distemper. And
yeah, I think the last shot I got was for rabies. I've got that little tag that I hang around my neck so that if I get lost in the neighborhood, people know I'm safe. It's okay, honey. He's had his shots. Don't worry if he bites you.
Stay away from the raccoons.
Bye. So, yeah, now we're being advised to get our flu shot. I don't know why. I've just never done that. And I can't. It's been quite a while since I've had anything. I haven't had a serious cold in quite a while.
Well, you're just a healthy person.
Something. I don't know what it is. I think it's about keeping regular.
Alrighty. We thought you were a regular guy, so.
Just keep the system flowing. Just keep everything moving. It's just like a daily cleanse.
You gonna play the Pepto-Bismol commercial?
I do need to find that and have that at hand. I've not done that yet. So what else do we know? Hey, later this morning we're going to be talking about this, but I heard a lengthy discussion yesterday on the radio, probably. About the stock market, and they were going on and on and on, about, particularly the other day, about the changes in the makeup of the Dow. They're kicking off some of the companies like Exxon, some of the, you know, been on there forever, and putting some of the new tech companies on instead. They were also talking about which of the two candidates' victories would be better for stocks, and why is the market soaring when so many people and businesses are struggling? And that's the part of the discussion that caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I again asked myself, because I tend to talk to myself when I'm alone, sometimes out loud, usually just in my head, but why do we continue to use such a non-representative metric as the Dow and the NASDAQ as our only measure of how the economy is doing? Well, I guess it's not the only. The only other one we use is unemployment numbers. Those are the only two ways that we seem to measure the economy. And that both frustrates and interests me. So, particularly because the percentage of people that are truly invested in the stock market is low.
Right.
It's like 75% of people really have no vested interest in the stock market. So why are we always yammering on about that? More on that in our 810 business update here this morning. Back to the governor for a moment. She is still determining whether the state can safely allow the still closed businesses like the gyms and the theaters to reopen. At that press conference yesterday, she says, and I quote, "I am not going to be bullied into making that decision." Emphasis added on my own. I don't think she said it, anything like that, but she says, "I'm going to follow the science. I'm going to work with Dr. Khaldun, who is the chief medical officer of the state." So regardless of what you may be saying and doing and thinking out loud on social media, she is not going to be bullied into doing anything in the way of reopening before she thinks everything is safe. So, or safe enough, I guess. I'm not sure that anything's ever going to be truly safe. So as far as COVID, long-term care facilities, social gatherings, offices, the largest settings for outbreaks this last week. And by the way, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, the state, introduced a new online outbreak tracker this week, which should be updated weekly and will give you a closer look at which areas have the most recent outbreaks of COVID-19. So I think that might be helpful. Last week, there were 13 new outbreaks associated with long-term care facilities, 11 with social gatherings, 9 with office settings, 8 known outbreaks among restaurant employees, 7 with childcare or youth programs. And geographically, Lansing and Saginaw reported the most new outbreaks, 15 and 11, respectively. And then northern Detroit and Kalamazoo were next in line. The UP won. The UP had only one outbreak. And boy, geographically, as the further north you go, the fewer outbreaks there are. So
that's true.
So anyway, question for you. Has anybody found that Shannara Bailey yet? The woman here that's accused of shooting two people on Monday? She's still on the lam, isn't she? We haven't heard anything about her.
No, she was driving a Hyundai. I didn't know about a lam. But oh, I see what you're saying. Never mind.
She's at large. Well, we don't know her size either, so I guess.
Still waiting for her boyfriend, Bill, to come home, I think.
Bill Bailey, yeah. He's been away for a while.
Yeah.
No, as far as to the best of our knowledge, they've not picked her up yet. Would that be?
That I haven't seen anything right about that.
All right. So there is that. From the It's No Wonder We Don't Believe Anything Anymore department. One federal agency says Michigan's unemployment rate is 8.7%. Another one says it's 12%. And I read the explanation as to why, and I didn't understand it. So I'm not going to I'm not going to say any more about that, except that it just feeds into the why we don't believe anything anymore department. By the way, the Farmer's Almanac is out for this year, and it is predicting. Are you ready?
Ready.
Cold and snow.
Wow.
Thank you, Farmer's Almanac. They say they've been predicting the weather using a carefully guarded formula for more than 200 years, which I think kind of means that they're just guessing. I don't know how accurate they've been down through the years. But we always, at least I remember as a kid, kind of relying on that
right. As
kind mm-hmm. of a bellwether, if you will.
A what?
Huh? Of what was to come. But they're saying cold and snow. And to be more specific, it gets a little more specific than that, as they say that a swath of America from the Great Lakes and the Midwest westward out through the northern and central plains and Rockies are in for a cold winter with normal to below normal temperatures.
Oh, dear.
Now, keep in mind that we just went through a situation where August was supposed to be well above normal, and for the most part it wasn't until just now. So, up for translation and certainly for modification when necessary. And from the Illinois Foresight Committee, it may not feel like it now, but in just a few short weeks, it will not be comfortable to dine al fresco, as they say, or outside. This is specifically in a story about Chicago. With COVID-19 restrictions still expected to be in place, limiting restaurant capacity indoors, restaurants going to have to get creative. The city's actually looking for help. They've put out a "We are asking for help" missive the other day, saying we're asking our community members to come together and think creatively about how we can make outdoor dining feasible in the winter. Would you want to go sit outdoors and eat in the winter?
Probably not, but I have to think about that. I guess it.
Well, that's what they're looking for, people to think about it. That's from Mayor Lightfoot the other day. They've announced a competition, actually, a winter design challenge in partnership with one of the banks over there in the Illinois Restaurant Association to come up with some ideas on how to accommodate people in kind of an outdoor setting when it's winter time in the upper Midwest. So when they get the results back, we'll report them to you, and maybe we can get some ideas for around these parts, too.
Yeah.
All right. 6:56 Sports next on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.